In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre had its annual meeting in Honolulu, Hawaii, and, well, I had to go. It's a hard job, but someone has to do it. And while there, I saw a good many beautiful and wonderful things. There were, of course, the beaches, though I enjoyed the Royal Palace in Honolulu more because it's the only royal palace on United States territory. And I liked Pearl Harbor even more than that. It was interesting to visit the battleship Missouri and to see the two battleships that were sunk at Pearl Harbor that are still there, the Arizona and the Utah. And it's, you know, kind of realized that it was a bad day for the Intermountain West on December the 7th, 1941. Two of our state battleships sunk. But the most important by far place that I visited while I was there was the leper colony at Molokai. It's really a very beautiful and sad and interesting place. There were two saints that worked there, both American citizens, but neither of them was from America. St. Damien de Vester was from Holland, and St. Marianne Cope was from Germany. Damien, while he was working with the lepers, contracted leprosy and ended up dying from it. But St. Marianne didn't, which was quite unusual for those who worked with the lepers. And the very interesting thing is that before she went to Molokai, she had a dream in which the Blessed Virgin told her that neither she nor her sisters needed to fear leprosy, because none of them would contract it, and that was in fact true. And when you go there, you see all the places that they worked, you see that all of the places in this very isolated island where the lepers lived, and there are still some people living there, in spite of the fact that leprosy is now curable and cured. They were so traumatized by their disease that they don't feel like they could live in ordinary society. You know, this used to be the only way that leprosy could be dealt with, because leprosy is a very contagious disease. If you're around people with leprosy, you have a very good chance of contracting it. And it is a deadly disease. Once you have it, it will kill you. And you will die in a very gruesome manner, because as you are more and more affected by the disease, parts of your body will become infected and have to be removed. And a leper with full-on leprosy looks as if they were the walking dead. They look like zombies, which is why it was so feared in previous ages. In fact, in the Law of Moses, as we heard in our first reading, lepers were required to live apart. They were required to dress distinctively, you know, torn clothes with their face muffled, and they were required to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that people would know that they were to stay away from them. And this is the situation in which the man who came before the Lord Jesus in today's gospel found himself. This man had been separated from his family and friends. He couldn't be around them because he was unclean. He couldn't even pray with everyone else because he couldn't go to the synagogue. So it was as if he were the living dead. And so when he hears about the Lord Jesus with a great gift of faith, He knows that Jesus can cure him. He comes before him. He kneels down before him and he says, "If you wish, you can make me clean." And the scripture tells us that Jesus was deeply moved by this man. Now, there are other places in scripture where it says Jesus is deeply moved. Places where, like when he sees the grief of Mary and Martha at the death of their brother Lazarus, where he meets the man, the synagogue leader, whose little daughter had died, or the widow in the town of Nain, whose only son had died. Jesus is deeply moved. And so when Jesus is said, hears, "If you wish, you can make me clean," Jesus says, "I do wish it. You are made clean." And then he tells the man to do what the law of Moses had said, to go and present himself to the priest who will certify that he is cured. And then he's to offer a sacrifice and thanksgiving to God for his healing. This is what the man is supposed to do, but it's not what he did. Instead, overflowing with gratitude, he goes out and tells everyone that Jesus has cured him. You know, we can't really fault him for doing that, though it made life quite difficult for Jesus, because he was surrounded by people then who wanted a cure also, so that he could not easily move in habitated areas. Aren't you glad you're not a leper? Wouldn't that be a horrible way to live, to be separated from everyone, to be separated from God? And yet, are you so sure that in some ways we are not lepers? Because remember, it's, as Jesus tells us, it's not a disease which makes a person unclean, but rather it is sin. Sin separates us from God. And if it's a mortal sin, it totally separates us, so much so that if we die in that state, we'll go to hell. But sin also affects those who are around us, and it will separate us from friends and family and co-workers and neighbors. In your own life, you can see this. Think about, there are probably instances where you know where lying has cost friendships. Maybe even cost a person their job. Maybe even broke up a family. Or theft. Or violence. Think about how many families have been destroyed by marital infidelity, or from the great scourge, which is pornography. All of these things don't just affect our relationship with God, they affect our relationship with one another. And there are some who will then pretend that there's nothing wrong with these things. But they're wrong. It's like if you have a big wound on your leg and it is infected and it is weeping pus. Sorry for the gross out, but I'm trying to get the point across. And then a person says, "Well, there's nothing wrong with my leg." Well, that is not going to heal the leg. The person will just get sicker and sicker until they die. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus is deeply moved at our situation too. That's why Jesus died upon the cross, so that we could be made clean from the effects of sin. So that our sins could be washed away in baptism, so that they could be forgiven in the sacrament of confession, so that we can be strengthened against sin through the Holy Eucharist. And this conversion, turning from sin and turning to the gospel, is part of our life as a Christian, which means that that's going to be part of what we do during Lent. And so let me give you a little suggestion for Lent. Strong suggestion. Not going to command, but it's a strong suggestion. In your prayers, ask God to show you where you need to be made clean. And then make that part of your Lenten work of prayer, penance, and charity. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.